You're listening to Merriam-Webster on the EFT Zone Spotlight.
I'm a spiritual mutt. I was born with a questing mind. I started out, I believe I mentioned that my mother was Mormon. My family went from being Lutheran to my grandfather passed away, and the Mormon missionaries came around the same time, very emotional time for everybody. So the whole family had to become Mormon. This was when I was 8. And when I was 13, I found that expression of spirituality to be not compatible with what I needed. And so I said, I'm not going back to church. You can't make me. God doesn't live there, when I was about 13. And I began my own search for the divine. It was very interesting. I had a shamanic mentor. He lived with a friend of my father's. And he lived outside of town. He had 5 acres and a teepee back up onto a state park. So his backyard was very vast. He had a trailer and a teepee, and we used to get together. And how I met him was very interesting. I was in high school contemplating killing myself over some dumb boy kind of issue. I got dumped. Oh, my gosh, my life is over. And I was downtown having a final farewell dinner, so I thought. And as I came out of the diner, he was going in, and he stopped me, put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, don't do what you're planning to do. Come have coffee with me and talk about it. And that threw me for a loop. That was really strange. So his name was Dee DeLorme, Corliss Raymond DeLorme, Jr., and everyone called him Dee. He was the most amazing person I have ever known. That day, he taught me to journey out of body and look for a guide, a teacher. A spiritual teacher, and I found one, and it was very rewarding for me. Subsequently, in early college, I hit another low peak and became Muslim for several years. I was the scarf-wearing, long dress-wearing, mosque-going Muslim woman, and I feel like I needed that to really kind of kick the patriarchalist religions, you know, out of my life, because they were not nurturing to me. I realize they are for many people, and no judgment, but for me, it was not a nurturing place to be. After several years in that expression, I sort of said, okay, I'm done now. And I had simultaneously discovered, well, this was back in, I guess, high school, when a girlfriend of mine and I discovered the goddess-worshipping religions. We were reading Bullfinch's mythology, and decided to worship Diana, the moon goddess. There was a resurgence of that in my life, and I became a priestess for many years. It was almost 20 years in the neo-pagan earth religions community. And I found that was really not, after that length of time, was very draining as a source for my spirituality, and my spirituality went way far beyond what that community was expressing as. So I again struck out on my own. This was towards the late 90s. I experienced the deaths of both parents, a divorce from my first husband, and I went out into the Red Rocks of Sedona, the Sedona area, and was called to Canyon de Chelly and had an interesting month-long odyssey with a Navajo man, a Diné man, who was the grandson of the local shaman. And I had a dream that led me there. And it was all very profound personally to me. And it just set my feet back on a path that was just me and the creative force without any personal pronouns attached. So I don't really have a name for it as such. I have subsequently studied Tibetan Bon religion, which is pagan religion, Buddhism, Tibetan Japanese, and Thai Buddhism, which I find to be very compatible, but, you know, still not me. And then lately, of course, quantum physics. My husband jokes that quantum physics has become my new religion. I am taking that we all are one thing. We're all composed of the same little quantum strings. At the tiny particulate level, And this gets a bit into what is quantum flow bioenergetics, which is a name I came up with, an umbrella term for people were calling themselves energy psychologists who had no right to use the word psychologist, you know, that were not trained or licensed. And I'm practicing energy medicine who are not MDs. And I really want my people to be safe, those that I train to be very safe legally. So I thought, well, what is it that we're really practicing? I mean, energy is a term you get thrown around. It means so many different things. So what is this really? And I undertook the study of quantum physics, and I found out we're all the same, and these little strings, vibrating strings, exist in everything and compose everything. And that, brashly speaking, I'm God, you're God, so is the table, the chair, and my cat. The all that is, we are all part of. There is a song, a very popular song a couple of years ago, God is watching us from a distance. And I was thinking, well, that's kind of bogus, because God is watching us from about a micron away, if that. That which is God, that which is Buddha, Jesus, etc., is incorporated within our own molecules, within our own fibers. We are that which we worship. And that's, I think, one of the great secrets. It's not something to get puffed up about because, hey, you're God and so is the earthworm on the sidewalk and the cockroach, for that matter. But quantum flow bioenergetics, getting back to that, these energies exist in their pure form at the quantum level. The way subatomic. This is a highly simplified explanation and is not actually true in a scientific sense, but I'm trying to make it accessible for everyone. And when we are affecting our energy flows in the body, the bioenergetics, what we are affecting is the flow rate, how the particles flow. Changing a large biocircuit, a large organism like a human being, changing the whole darn thing, it's a hard job. I mean, come on, we're huge sacks of meat. Changing this huge sack of meat all at once, gee whiz, what a drag. But if I can interest the tiniest little quantum string of meat in my change agenda, the thing that I want to do that's different, if I can go down that tiny and interest this little bitty string and say thank you, with the utmost of love and gratitude, would you please do this now? Then that little quantum string will cause the entire universe to flow in patterns that support that change. Rather than the change rippling out from the stone thrown into the pond, which is the big arena, the big sack of meat arena, the change is rippling out from the tiniest little sub-microscopic, subatomic part in the bottom of the pond, rippling out towards the top, so towards the large from the small. And that is what I figured out is what we're doing when we tap. When we tap, we are reorganizing the energy in our body, and since this energy expresses at the smallest possible levels in its pure form, we are attracting that tiny, tiny little unit of intelligence and asking it to flow in a different pattern, hence quantum flow bioenergetics.